Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Episode 9 of Season 2, Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from TheHammerSpeaks.com. Dave, since we last got together, the Steelers put together a thumping victory, and we now approach the most important week of preseason, Week 3, where the Steelers and the Falcons will tangle on Saturday night at 7:30. That's a game where the starters will probably get about a half of action on both sides of the ball, and really that's going to determine how the end of this 53-man roster is done and the few starting spots that are still maybe up in the air, particularly the right guard spot, will probably get finalized here this Saturday.
Yes, I'm excited for this week because I think we'll know, you know, and it's a good opponent too in the Falcons because, you know, this is a good young quarterback in Matt Ryan, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez. They look poised to make a run in the NFC. It'll be good to have their starters go two or three quarters against the Steelers starters, you know, to see what we have on the defensive side of the ball. You know, in particular at corner, you know, where I think they're still a little bit concerned, even though a lot of these young kids played well last week. So I look forward to it. I think it's a great opponent for a third preseason game to get a measure on your roster.
Yep, couldn't agree more. And by the way, on the second half of this podcast, we're going to have a great interview. We had a great interview with Ed Bouchette, the longtime Steelers beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So I hope you'll stick around and take a listen to that. Ed, as always, very insightful in what's going on with the team and gives his thoughts on a lot of different players and where they're going to stand come cut down day, September 3rd.
Yeah, it was a great interview and several things that we're going to kind of talk about today. We're going to tease a little bit some of our thoughts because a lot of them we asked Ed his opinion on some of these very things that we're going to talk about today. And Ed, as usual, top notch. I enjoy having him on. I'm glad he's a great friend of the Terrible Podcast.
Yep. So, Dave, let's get into it. Let's first, again, take a look at the injury picture. Some of these guys who were probably guaranteed to get roster spots are now a little bit bubble-ish because of injuries. And then we've had a few guys who looked like early on they were, you know, they were going to contend for starting positions, and now their spot on the 53-man isn't so clear anymore. And let's start with the cornerbacks.
Yeah, and I wrote about this week, and just the latest piece is up on Bryant McFadden, and as I said, we asked Ed about this too, but, you know, Bryant McFadden is a guy that we don't know how serious his hamstring and or quad is. He has yet to play in either of the preseason games, and he's missed quite a bit of camp work. And, you know, starting, you know, when they reported to camp, you would almost think that, okay, well, Bryant McFadden's going to be a lock to make a 53-man roster. I no longer see that anymore after, you know, kind of the things that we're hearing, because I think we have, you know, possibly eight cornerbacks vying for six or seven spots on the roster now. And I think McFadden, with that salary that he makes, $2.5 million this year, the cap hit is not that much higher than that. So that means he would be a very easy cut that would not cost you dead money-wise going forward. So, you know, I think he's one guy. The other guy is the rookie fourth-round pick, Cortez Allen. This is a kid that has missed, you know, of course, all the OTAs and rookie camps because of the lockout going on. So he's already behind the eight ball there. He's missed the first two preseason games, and from my understanding, he's missed the first 2 days of practice this week leading up to the Falcons game. And, you know, we asked Ed about that. I kind of theorized maybe he could be headed towards the IR, but Ed kind of disputes that, saying they could, you know, the injury's not serious enough for that. So the question becomes, does he stick on the 53, or do you try to slide him to the practice squad, which is mighty risky with a fourth-round pick with as much talent as, even though this kid is a project. So,
well, I think that's the key, Dave. One of the things is if anything, people thought the Steelers stretched, and the Steelers are willing to stretch on guys like that because they don't have to step right in and play. They've got an opportunity to develop them. Obviously, the kid went to the Citadel, where football isn't the only focus of his college experience. So I think he's a little bit of a unique situation, and the fact that it's not like anybody's going to have film on him and say, wow, we can really see this stuff. This kid went at the end of the fourth round, but it wouldn't have been surprising, listening to most people's pre-draft prediction process, that if this guy went in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. So maybe even though the Steelers took him the fourth round, he slides through. I do think another benefit here for anybody on any team being moved to the practice squad from the team's perspective is because there's been so little work done. Everything's kind of rushed. There's so many guys in camp that I think teams are going to be – certainly they'll be scouring the waiver wire, but I think it'll be – you're less likely to see draft picks and free agents picked up. I think you'll see some veterans picked up to fill specific holes.
How do you feel about the McFadden scenario, David? But, you know, and we're, of course, like I said, we'll have Bouchette's thoughts later. But do you think that McFadden will be cut? And if so, do you think that Cortez Allen sticks to the 53-man roster?
I don't think McFadden will get cut, and I only think that because of a complete lack of depth. I don't think that any of the guys, Keenan Lewis, Donovan Warren, any of the guys that we've talked about have done enough so that I don't feel comfortable enough going into game one against the Ravens not having Brian McFadden on the roster. And let's be clear, I'm not a Brian McFadden fan. I don't think he was good last year. I think he was below average NFL corner. Way below expectations when they reacquired him from Arizona. And that is really after a reasonably good start to the season, in my opinion. I really thought his play, it didn't improve or it dropped off. But, William Gay, to me, isn't a guy who should be out there on the corner by himself. I think he's a nickel guy, a guy who's good in the slot on the blitz situation, doing some of those things. So the Steelers just, look, we've talked about this since last February. The Steelers are exposed at the corner position. Ike is fine and solid on his side. And you've got five or six other guys, and I think you're going to carry – I think you want to carry most of them. And if you ask me today, if I had to make a decision on my limited viewing – of guys like Cortez Allen, he's the guy who I would try to sneak through to the practice squad, and I'd keep most of the other guys who have, Keenan Lewis, probably keep Donovan Warren, and then you got to figure out, is that the 53rd spot that he gets? I'm inclined to keep McFadden and his $2.5 million.
With that, the big consensus of Steelers last year kept six cornerbacks. You could see a situation, and we asked Ed about this too, with depth now with Jericho Cotchery at receiver, that's five solid wide receivers, assuming Emmanuel Sanders is ready to start the year and he hasn't played yet. We could very well see a situation where they go with five wide receivers instead of the six. Arnez Battle would be the one out there, or Tyler Grisham, however you want to look at it. And maybe they keep a seventh corner instead if they choose to keep Allen on the roster. Or are you more set on still, regardless of shipping Allen off to the practice squad?
No, I'm certainly not locked on that. I mean, the question is, I don't see Tyler Grisham probably getting picked up by another team. You can probably get him to the practice squad again. Arnez Battle. So maybe we're talking about not only is the sixth receiver spot that 53rd spot, but as we've talked about in camp, earlier in camp, we were talking about maybe it's going to be Mario Harvey. Maybe it's Wesley Saunders. Now it looks like it's Morty Ivey and Cortez Allen. Maybe those guys, rather than competing within their position, they're competing for 52 and 53 just on the roster. And I do think when you're making up the roster and trying to keep the best 53, the question isn't really whether you keep five or six corners or five or six receivers. It's who's the best of that incremental guy, regardless of position. And I think that's what it's going to come down to again here.
Yeah, I think you hit a good point. I think even Tomlin, when asked about it, they want the best 53 guys, and sometimes we get caught up in the there have to be this many guys at this many positions or whatnot, and I think we get caught up in that instead of looking at the best 53 guys on the roster, so that's a good point. Some other injuries, we haven't gotten to, Jonathan Scott and Marcus Gilbert both went down. against the Eagles. Scott on the first play of the game and Gilbert almost immediately at the end of that first drive. Both those MRIs seem to, by all reports, have checked out good, hyperextension of the knees only. I would be surprised if Jonathan Scott played this week, and really Gilbert, I guess his status is up in the air as well. And seems like Trey Essex was a visitor down over at the South Side this morning. You know, what are your thoughts on him, or how the offensive line played with Tony Hills at guard and at left tackle?
Well, you guys blindsided me with that. I hadn't seen the news that Trey Essex was in at camp. I think
that just broke this morning, David, right before we went on.
Yeah, one of the things that that tells me is neither Max Starks nor Flozell Adams is going to be a member of the Steelers on opening day. Now, you never know what happens down in the course of the season, but if they're not here dressed for this game, I find it highly unlikely that they'd sign him, and, you know, barring injury, of course, I find it highly unlikely that they'd make a move going into that Carolina game and even try to get him any snaps. So I think that that's clear that those two guys won't be around on opening day. It is also clear, as we've talked about, that they're a bit unsettled with the depth at line. Some of these guys, I think the only guy who maybe has really stepped forward versus what they expected clearly is Tony Hills, and he's done more than any of us expected. I just assumed he was camp fodder, and it looks like he's really in contention for this starting right guard spot. We do know Doug Ligurski's on the squad. He's a very valuable guy, and he can play a lot of different roles, and he will always have a helmet on Sunday. He'll be one of the guys active for every game. And then the question is, behind that, you know, if Tony Hills does win that spot, then who else are you activating on game day? Who are the guys? It's probably not the kid Williams drafted out of Nebraska in the sixth round, and he's probably still borderline to make the roster. So, you know, we've got Ramon Foster as the obvious candidate. Then the question is, who's backing up at the tackle spots? So some interesting decisions here, and, you know, maybe – one of the things that I was concerned about last year, particularly with the guys susceptible to injury like they were, was I was always surprised the Steelers were dressing seven offensive linemen instead of eight. And I think you might see them go to eight in some of the early games this year.
Well, that's an interesting proposition. I guess it goes down into two is are you going to keep nine like they did last year, or are you going to keep 10? And, you know, that goes into probably that 50 – you know, I guess that wouldn't be a 53rd spot, because I would view that more as a guy that can play multiple, not only like, say, a cornerback and special teams. So it would probably play into a 51st or 52nd roster spot there. But, yeah, that's an interesting scenario. If you look back, you know, I of course, chart all the offensive line stuff every week. And I think we've said it all along that I'm not so concerned with Jonathan Scott starting. It's more of the depth behind him at left tackle. And while I thought Tony Hills played well at right guard and enough to throw his hat in the ring at the starting right guard spot, I am fearful to death of what happens if he has to go in there and left tackle. And I think that he showed that a little bit of that again, you know, when he was forced to do it when Gilbert and Scott went down. And I think I think you'd be fooling yourself to think Gilbert can immediately you play in week one if Jonathan Scott was to go down at left tackle. So, you know, maybe that's a reason they brought Trey Essex is visiting the South Side today. Maybe something's on the horizon for a final roster cut down like I envision, maybe McFadden or something, getting Essex back on the roster, who's like an ultimate swing guy that could play tackle. He even played left tackle last year at one point when I think Scott went down. So late in the season, I thought he held his own pretty good. I think it was a Ravens game, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, there's still questions there. There's still questions at the cornerback position. I think everything else has pretty much, you know, come together, though.
Yeah, I do. And I think largely as expected, knock on wood, one of the good things is the Steelers have had, you know, the standard nagging injuries that you're going to have all the time. You're always going to have guys with pulls and sprained ankles and banged up knees. But it doesn't seem like, aside from Emmanuel Sanders, it seems like they're going to go in reasonably healthy. And you've been right about this call on Sanders all along, and I've been a little more skeptical. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to go it doesn't look like he's going to go Saturday. And so the question is, will he actually get any burn on Thursday? Will they just get him out there to get some reps, or if he can go and practice? And, look, it's not the end of the world. Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown were very much afterthoughts in terms of getting playing time last year in week one. And we saw, as we got deeper into the season, these guys, particularly Sanders, became instrumental in the offense. And with Cotchery there, They can take this a little bit more slowly than they might otherwise. But I wouldn't be overly concerned that Sanders isn't going to contribute if he's not on the field in week one, because he knows the offense. We've seen the talent he has. If he's healthy, he'll be out there. And by all accounts, Antonio Brown has been kind of the sensation of camp. So, I was skeptical about this whole depth at wide receiver thing, but I think you hit it right on the head. And it turns out the Cotchery signing looks like a really great signing. He's a good fit, seems like a very good guy, fits in with the team very well. So, I was wrong about it, and I think they've handled it beautifully. And now I'm even less concerned than I was back then.
Boy, you brought up Cotchery, and I was so excited to watch him play. The biggest question, I think, going into this is, how he was recovered from the back, off-season back surgery. And, of course, the Steelers wouldn't have signed him if he wouldn't have passed the physical. Let's be honest there. But I think there was still some concerns because, let's face it, this guy last year was not as productive with those injuries. I think he had a groin, too. But the years before that, he's been a solid contributor with the Jets. And, yep. And that touchdown alone, that touchdown reception alone, if you go back and watch that, of how he uses his body to shield off the defender, and the other two catches that he made in that game, I believe one was called back on a penalty. But boy, he reminds you just like of Hines Ward, able to go across the middle, make the tough catch, and find the soft spot in the zone. And boy, you really have to tip your cap to Kevin Colbert of getting this guy signed, especially it appears to be a veteran minimum of around $810,000, for the season. So, wow, that's all I can say about that signing.
Yep, and just a little bit of breaking news. This won't be breaking for our listeners, but the Raiders just took Terrell Pryor in the third round of the supplemental draft. About a little ahead of where most people thought, the Raiders probably will look at him as a quarterback. I was laughing at some people in Pittsburgh saying, they'd look at him as a fifth or sixth rounder. Well, that's fine if you're going to look at him as a tight end. But as a quarterback, I don't know that the Steelers have any interest in using a pick there.
Yeah, and it does not surprise – if anybody was going to draft him that high, it would be somebody like the Raiders. Let's face it, Al Davis loves speed. He loves athletes. That's we've seen it time and time again by him drafting these burners like Darius Hayward Bay and stuff like that. He is enamored with speed. It does not surprise me that he's the guy. They're the team that did that. It's a feast or famine pick. I think he figures, like you said, hey, maybe this kid will be my future quarterback. They got time to make a decision on him too, because he's going to be sitting out the first 5 weeks on a suspension, and he won't count against a 53-man roster when he does that. And I believe they've made some special stipulations that because of him accepting that suspension and the unique circumstances, he will be able to work in some capacity with the team.
Yep.
During this suspension. So that's unique in itself. So I wrote yesterday, and I wrote in the past, and I think we both agree on this and said it on the podcast, David, I would have been surprised if the Steelers had put in anything more than a seventh round, flyer selection on this kid. And, I guess color me unshocked that he went to the Raiders.
Yeah, I agree. Look, maybe the Raiders are aggressive with a third round pick. That's probably a little bit before even a team like the Raiders should have gone for him. But let's just say this: Terrell Pryor is a very good athlete. He's going to get a lot of chances to succeed. It's going to take him a while to learn the system. He doesn't have to play this year. He may not make it a quarterback, but he is a guy who may play in the NFL for a long time at an H-back role, a tight end. If he's willing to move and it doesn't work out at quarterback, and I'm not saying he's definitely not going to work out at quarterback, I think he's got as good, if not a better shot than Tim Tebow of being an NFL quarterback. But he has all the athletic tools to be, a better player than Jonathan Baldwin, who went in the first round, who we've seen is having trouble in Kansas City, kind of as predicted.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of lump him right now with Cam Newton. He's definitely the better athlete, all-around athlete, than Cam Newton is. But I'm still not convinced that Cam Newton's going to be a quarterback in this league. Pryor, I don't know. He has time on his side, so if they get the right guy to work with him, maybe our buddy George Whitfield or somebody like that, I don't know, or their quarterback coach over there in Oakland. I don't know. Yet to be determined. I guess Al, figured, give me an athlete any day of the week, and I'll take my chances with him.
Yep. I generally agree with that kind of sentiment. All right, Dave, anything to touch on before we're going to come back here at the end of the week? I want to let everybody know that I will be hosting the Stan Saverin show. Best wishes to Stan. He's got a medical procedure he's got to undergo, and he's going to be out for the rest of the week. So I will be on ESPN Radio in Pittsburgh from 10 to 2. Dave is going to be a guest on the show on either Thursday or Friday. And so we'll have some good fun with that. We'll get, you'll get a little live, a live terrible podcast version on ESPN Radio. But we'll be coming back at you later in the week, either Thursday or Friday. Anything to wrap up, Dave?
Just every week, I want everybody to make sure they visit SteelersDepot.com. I have my, you know, the offensive and defensive participation reports up. I have coverage stats, offensive line, and breakdown of the blocking report. And I've got me a new stats guy to help with compiling some things week to week. And I think on a week-to-week basis, you'll be seeing some very easily compiled, you know, different type stats and situational stats as far as personnel groupings and all goes. So I really have a lot planned this year on Steelers Depot.
And as always, listen, some of you people are out there following the terrible podcast, so you're not following me. I mean, I got to get my count up, Dave. At Hammer Speaks again. I'm embarrassed. I'm a factor of 10 behind again. We, you know, follow me at Hammer Speaks, you people. And of course, at the Terrible Podcast and at Steelers Depot. That's all of us on Twitter. And, you know, we need some more feedback. If you want to email the show, you can certainly do that. The Terrible Podcast at Gmail, or terriblepodcast at gmail.com.
No, you had it right. It's the Terrible Podcast at Gmail.
All right. Maybe we're going to have to simplify that somehow. The Terrible Podcast at gmail.com. And we got a hotline that we're trying to get this thing active, and you know, maybe we can hear some calls and play some clips on the air. Dave, do you have that number in front of you?
Yes, I do. It is area code 814-429-YINZ, Y-I-N-Z. Very easy to remember. Call and bitch about us or something. Just give us something to...
Yeah, let's give it... We need a little entertainment ourselves.
Give us something to laugh at, or call me a butt, or call David a butt, or tell us how much we suck or whatnot, and how much you hate the show, but you listen anyway. That's the stuff that we need. You know, we like to get this thing going a little bit heavier during the year.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Episode 9, Season 2 of the Terrible Podcast. Stay tuned for Ed Bouchette. Want to give our thanks to Ed again for taking some time on a Monday afternoon to be with us. For Dave and Dave, that's the Terrible Podcast. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. We're pleased to have as our guest Ed Bouchette, the beat writer covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ed, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, sure, David. You're welcome.
Hey, Ed, just now that we've you were up in Latrobe for a couple weeks, the Steelers are back on the south side. Can you give us your general impressions of how camp has gone through the first two preseason games?
Well, I think pretty well. You know, what you'd expect of a team that really did not have many openings for starting jobs, you know, considering the lockout and everything. I thought Mike ran a good camp, a good-paced camp. And I think that, you know, they look ready to go.
From a guy who's seen 30 or 30 some of these camps over the years, did you notice a discernible, difference in the level of play or preparation of the guys in camp, having not had a chance to go through the OTAs and do things, as an organization up until, the CBA was agreed to?
No, not really. I mean, they did, you know, obviously no two-a-days, but he had them out there every morning. He also did something unusual. He had them in pads the day before games. Usually that's pretty light workout for them the day before the two preseason games. And, you know, there were more meetings, and even though they couldn't, like I said, do two-a-days, he had many of them out there, not a lot of the veterans, but many of them out there in the mornings as well. And other than a lot of hamstring injuries, I didn't notice more guys sidelined. And really, the level of practices seemed to be about the same as you'd see in any camp.
Ed, I think on everybody's mind once again with Steeler Nation is the situation with the cornerbacks and all heading into this season. I had posted yesterday, and you kind of replied back to me, so this is going to be a sort of a three-part question. Rookie Cortez Allen has missed quite a few, I mean, most of camp, let's face it, in both the preseason games. Bryant McFadden also has missed time, and seems like that hamstring injury might be a little bit, you know, more serious than the Steelers might be letting on. Do you really think Cortez Allen is safe to make this 53-man roster, or is he headed to the practice squad because you seem to think IR is out? And Bryant McFadden, how safe is his roster spot with Donovan Warren seeming to step up and there being, you know, roughly eight corners for maybe six or seven spots?
Yeah, Dave. The first one, Cortez Allen, they can't put him on injured reserve. I just think that the NFL, that would raise red flags. They would look into it on a hamstring injury, unless it was just torn off the bone, and that doesn't seem to be the case. So he's, you know, he'll either make the team or, you know, they'll try and put him on a practice squad if someone else wouldn't claim him. But that would be certainly a chance it would take to waive a fourth-round pick. So I think he's going to make it, but as you said, there's only six spots. I guess there could be seven if they wanted to squeeze a linebacker and add a seventh. But you're right on Bryant McFadden. I mean, he's certainly not safe. He's got a decent-sized contract, $2.5 million, and you know, he hasn't been able to play, and even when he has played, you know, he's not making anybody forget Rod Woodson, that's for sure. So they have some young guys. You mentioned them. Donovan Warren has really come on. He was a pretty good player at Michigan. I guess the Jets just maybe had too many corners. I don't know why they didn't keep him last year, but he wasn't drafted. He was expected to be drafted higher, so maybe the Steelers hit one on him. That cut down on September 3rd is going to be real interesting at that spot.
Let me kind of tack onto that if McFadden, because I've got him as being, you know, saving $2.5 million. I don't think there's much left in a signing bonus that would have to be, you know, accounted for as far as salary cap. It seems like it'd be a pretty clean cut on him. With that $2.5 million, would that open up maybe? I posted on this on Steelers Depot about 15 minutes ago that would this open up a spot for maybe a return of Max Starks with that money?
Well, you know, I think you may have seen Trey Essex is
right.
Is over there today, and you know, I think maybe he's a possibility. The last I heard of Max was that he was just so heavy that you know, besides the salary cap thing, that was another reason they let him go. Now he can play both left and right if he gets back into shape, and we've seen Jonathan Dwyer, you know, get back into shape pretty quickly. So I don't know where Max is right now on his weight. You know, him, Trey Essex, and Essex can play guard as well, you know, because they need somebody if Jonathan Scott goes down. I don't think they want Marcus Gilbert or Scott out there, or the other Scott, Chris Scott out there, if something happens to Jonathan Scott.
Ed, if we take a look at the wide receiver position, it seems pretty clear the top five guys are safe and on the roster. And then a question whether the Steelers carry six receivers and whether that spot, it sounds like, goes to whether it's the 53rd roster spot or the 52nd spot goes to Arnez Battle as a special teams guy, or the Steelers decide to go to six receivers and maybe it goes instead to Tyler Grisham. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to me, you know, Arnez Battle does a lot for them on special teams. But they have a lot of young guys who I think can should be able to do those kinds of things. You know, from the fifth round pick,
Carter,
the linebacker,
Chris Carter.
Carter.
Yep.
You know, one of those young corners, Tyler Grisham should be out there busting his butt on special teams to try and make it as that sixth wide receiver. So I don't know which way they're going on that, but I think it does come down to one of those two things. Either they keep Arnez Battle or they add Tyler Grisham.
You had written, and we were unclear on this exactly, and I think you clarified it, that Grisham is eligible for the practice squad this year?
Yes. As long as you're not active for 9 games in any one season, or you haven't spent 3 years on the practice squad, you are eligible for the practice squad.
Okay, and then if you were going to talk about the guys, the receivers in camp, you had the 2 kids from one from Ohio University, one from Miami, Ohio. You've got the 2 big receivers in Greenwood and Lyons. What are your thoughts in terms of if they were to put 1 or 2 guys on the practice squad and it wasn't going to be Grisham, who had the upper hand of those guys?
I think maybe Greenwood might. Wes Lyons, he's tall. He drops a lot of passes. He drops a lot in practice. He's dropped some in games. I don't know. I think they might go with one of like the Greenwood kid. That would be my pick.
Right.
You mentioned Chris Scott a little bit earlier, and we were excited to finally see him hit the field this year. But in his first 2 games, Ed, I've broken down both those games, the lineman reports and all play by play. He has not looked impressive at all in either of the first 2 games, either at guard or at tackle on the right side. And with Trey Essex possibly visiting today as well, is this a kid that could be on the outside looking in and possibly headed towards a practice squad as well?
Yeah, he could be, Dave. Anybody on the edge like that, if he's not performing well, and the Keith Williams kid, he was okay early on. I don't think he's made any steps either. Their 6th-round pick from Nebraska, but if they would re-sign Trey Essex, that's another spot that, is lost to one of those guys. And, Chris Scott just happens to be guard tackle. He's no more a guard because that experiment ended quickly. And it seems like he can only play 1 spot. And if he can't play that 1 spot, what's the purpose?
Yeah, do you see 9 linemen being kept, or do you see him expanding it by 1 to 10 this year?
Well, if you expand it to 10, you got to take away somewhere else. Maybe 5 wide receivers instead of 6. They're already, they'll keep 4 running backs, I believe. They're not going to go with 3. What are we talking about? 3 tight ends. They're going to go with 3 tight ends one way or the other, or 2 tight ends and a fullback. I think the only way, you can get that extra spot, obviously, is to cut down somewhere else. They'll go with 3 quarterbacks, not 2. I guess they could go with 2 tight ends if they don't like that 3rd guy, but Bruce Arians likes those 3 tight ends, and I don't think Jonathan Dwyer or Isaac Redman's ready to play fullback.
Yeah, I think you could probably go with 5 wide receivers there, because let's face it, Battle, if he's kept, he would only be kept because of special teams. And as you mentioned, if one of the kids like Curtis Brown, or even if Donovan Warren, if he makes the roster instead of McFadden or something, those are young kids that can contribute and ease the loss of Battle there. So that might be where they could get the extra spot.
One other thing about special teams, maybe they're not as important as they used to be in the kickoff game.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And Dave and I have talked about this, and now with the rule change, maybe it's less necessary. But I always wondered why the Steelers didn't consider using a 53rd spot for a kickoff specialist just for that reason. If you have a guy who 50% of the time is knocking it out of the end zone, it gives you, even though it takes up a roster spot, it may actually provide you more roster flexibility.
Yeah, but they've never, ever done that under any coach.
So, right.
Hey, Ed, I
don't think too many teams actually do that either. There are a few, there's like Pat McAfee kicks off for the Colts, but he's their punter as well.
Yeah, Dallas has that kid Bueller, a couple teams in the league. Hey, Ed, let me throw out some names for you. And these are guys who we seem to spend a lot of our time talking about, guys on the edges of the roster, the new guys in camp, the rookies and the new signings. So let me just throw some veterans at you that we've heard less about. If you could just give me a sentence or two on your thoughts of how their camp has gone. Willie Colon.
Colon's been fine. I think he's been fine in games. He's been good in camp. And I think that much talked about experiment of possibly moving him to guard is dead.
How about Mike Wallace?
Mike hasn't done a whole lot, you know, either in games and those one time Byron Leftwich overthrew him down in Washington, which I'm sorry, Ben Roethlisberger overthrew him down in Washington.
First time ever.
Yeah, you don't see that very often, but, you know, Mike's healthy and he'll be fine.
Stevenson Sylvester.
I think he's been outstanding. I mean, he looks like, I'm not going to put him in this category, but he looks almost a little like Marge Timmons, you know. He's quick, he hits hard, and he can cover some ground.
Larry Foote?
Again, Footy hasn't done a whole lot, but, you know, he's a steady guy for them, someone who has performed for them in the past, and someone that they can always count on.
And two more for you. Jason Worlds?
Yeah, Worlds is, he had a really good start of the camp, and, you know, I think he's in the mold, and again, I'm not comparing him, but he looks to me to be the typical outside, big outside linebacker in the Lamar Woodley mold.
And last one, Ryan Mundy.
Ryan, I've heard some people talk about maybe they're better off putting him in a nickel instead of the extra cornerback. I think he's had his best training camp.
Yeah, he certainly looked good in that first preseason game.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's very smart. He's a tall kid. He seems to have gotten stronger in his 3 years with the Steelers. And, you know, it's kind of a second thought. Not too many people think of Ryan. And they put Will Allen in ahead of him when there were injuries. I'm not so sure they wouldn't go with Ryan this time.
Good stuff. Ed, before we get you out of here, one last thing. I understand now that you guys are not allowed to tweet at practice, and I know that hurts your feelings quite a bit. But how is, you know, we're hearing some rumblings, us bloggers on the outside, that Bert and, you know, part of the Steelers media relations are not too, I guess you'd say, kind of aggravated with the outside blogosphere. You know, do they still kind of think of us as the dregs of the earth, sitting in our basements with the underwear on, or what kind of rumblings are you hearing as far as the blogosphere goes?
You mean you guys don't sit in the basement with your underwear?
Well, I do. I'm just
I'm
trying to defend the other bloggers. That's doing.
No, Bert's a great PR man, and they haven't changed any of the policies. I mean, you weren't allowed to tweet at practice last year. You weren't allowed to tweet at morning practice at training camp last year. That's, you know, when it's open to the public, you're allowed to report what's going on. When it's not, they don't let you tweet. And that's been their policy since they came up with a Twitter policy last year, I believe was the start of it. Anything that comes out of restrictions that come out of the Steelers believe me, Bert is not the one just making those decisions. It's Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, Ed, as always, we appreciate your time. The fabulous and talented Ed Bouchette, beat writer for the Post Gazette. You can find his stuff online at thepostgazette.com. And he's got his the special Behind the Wall pay site where Ed gives you the special golden nuggets. And then his weekly chats. Ed, very much appreciate you taking your time out of your day to be with us on the Terrible Podcast.
Thanks, fellas. You guys do a good job, by the way.
Hey, we appreciate you. Follow Ed on Twitter, too, @EdBouchette, one word. And thanks again, Ed.
Okay, fellas. Thanks. Bye.